Good morning, Harvest Baptist Church. Don't give that back to him, please. You'll get it back in a moment. Yeah, it'll be a little bit, brother. I'll let you know. Thank you. You'll see why, because they're... Anyway, you'll see why. It is a pleasure to be here this morning. Again, my name is Jim Price. I am with... my wife and I are with First Bible International. Some of you may or may not have heard of me. Some wish you never heard of me, but anyways, we'll see how that goes today, amen. I pastored the Vision Baptist Church for 25 years. We helped start that church 30 years ago, just over 30 years. I guess it's 31 years ago now. And the Lord allowed us to be a part of that church for many, many years. And as Brother Allen mentioned, we have been involved in the Bearing Precious Seed ministry there for 23 or 24 years now. Have you had Brother Phil Smith here with the ministry?
Assembling
the John Romans. That was a ministry of Vision Baptist Church. We had a vision to get the Word of God into as many places as we possibly could and help God's people get their hands and their fingers on the Word of God and in assembling them. There's such a need for the Word of God. I believe Amos says there's a famine in the land, a famine of the Word of God. I just want you to imagine just for a moment what it would be like without a Bible. Just stop and think about that for a moment. What if you came to church on Sunday morning and the pastor stood in his pulpit and he said, "Open to John 3:16. And you looked at him and you thought, "I can't do that. I don't have a Bible." Do y'all remember your first Bible? This is my first Bible. I got it when I was christened as a baby. Yes, I have been scripturally baptized, just in case you wondered. But do you remember your first Bible? I wander a little bit, brother, just so you know. You know, many people in this world, over half the world, do not have their first Bible. But yet we have how many Bibles sitting at home? On the shelf, just gathering dust because we've worn it out, or we've got too many notes in there, or we just want a new Bible, so we go and purchase a new Bible, or maybe someone gives us a new Bible for some event in our life. But we have all these Bibles just sitting on the shelf. And we take the Bible for granted. Brother Allen, maybe you can pass them out now. First Bible is committed to getting the very first Bible into the hands of those who don't have it. Over the half the world, 7.8, 7.9 billion people in this world, if you were to say, "Open to John 3:16, that's what they'd open up to. They'd open up to a blank Bible. They couldn't open up to John chapter 3 and verse 16. They couldn't open up to Romans chapter 2. They couldn't open up to Hosea, Obadiah. They couldn't open up to the book of Revelation, because this is what they have. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. I am kind of, I'm going to change my message a little bit this morning. I know what it's written in the bulletin, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is bigger than the bulletin. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Do you folks stand up in church to read the Word of God? Could you please stand and let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 5. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the glorious gospel. Thank you that you paid it all, Lord Jesus. We don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. But yet you died on that cross. You were made to be sin who knew no sin. You paid the penalty for our sin. And thank you so much for your great love for us. We sang about that in that song this morning, your love for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us even more in our Christian walk to get to know you better, and also to not hide the gospel, but that the gospel might be made manifest to all nations. We do love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we look at these verses, we're immediately challenged about the gospel which has been committed to our hands. Notice it says here, seeing we have this ministry. We have this ministry. We've been committed the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other organization that has this mandate. We have been given the Great Commission, amen. But it is a gospel that we have been given. And he says that it is a glorious gospel. You know, the gospel that we have is not an ineffectual gospel. It's not a gospel that is just a tradition of man. It's not a gospel that is run-of-the-mill. You know, you can go to all these self-help groups. In fact, self-help books are run-of-the-mill. If you want to make some money, you just write a book. These 10 steps to being a better person, and you can sell thousands and thousands of books. Amen. We live in this self-help day, but it's ineffectual. It's ineffectual, yet the gospel that we have is effectual. It's a glorious gospel. It can change lives. Amen. I trust that it's changed your life. I trust that you are saved and born again. I got saved on a bus coming up from Calgary in 1983. And that glorious gospel radically changed my life. I was going in one direction. I was a child of darkness, and then the gospel came in and it changed my life, and now I'm a child of light, amen? And it's a totally different direction. And I'm thankful that the gospel is effectual. It's not a feigned gospel. It's not a pretend gospel. We're going out in the gospel of God. It's the power, Romans says, the power of God unto salvation. Amen. And this is an effectual gospel. It's a glorious gospel. Isn't this gospel which saved our souls? We were headed to hell. We're headed to a Christless eternity. And yet the moment we received this glorious gospel, it changed our eternal direction. Amen. We're headed to hell, but now we're on our way to heaven. Amen. We were out of fellowship with the creator of this world, but now we're in fellowship. It is a glorious gospel. This gospel gives us victory over sin. These self-help groups and AA and Al-Anon and all these groups, they have all these different steps. But you know what? None of them give you victory over sin. They always say you're eternally a drug addict. You're always an alcoholic. But yet when the gospel comes in, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. Sin has no more dominion over me. It is a glorious gospel. It's a gospel that gives us hope. It's a gospel that gives us hope. In Ephesians, it says, those that are unsaved are without God and have no hope. Have no hope. We have hope of tomorrow. Amen. Through all this pandemic, and I very rarely mention it, but you know what? This world was wondering, what's going on? But we know what's going on. Amen. Because we have the answer right here in this old book. Amen. We knew exactly what was going on with this pandemic. We knew that this was just in preparation for the Antichrist, but we're not going to be here when he's here. Amen. We'll be gone. Hallelujah. That's enough to make us run around the building. Amen. Hey, this gospel heals relationships. It's a glorious gospel. It heals relationships. This gospel, this glorious gospel, gives us purpose for life. Purpose for life. You know, when I got saved, the Lord used a song in my life by a rock band named Pink Floyd. Anyone ever heard of Pink Floyd and want to admit it? There was a song called Time. And the words of that song said, you run to catch up to the sun, but it's sinking, fading away, waiting to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter breath, and one day closer to death. You know what? Hopelessness. You listen to all those songs in that era, not all of them, but many of them, and they sang about hopelessness. Yeah. Hopelessness. But you know what? We have hope and we have purpose to life. And the gospel gives us purpose in this life. Amen. This glorious gospel is the basis for success in this life. The basis of success. Doesn't Psalms chapter 1 say something about that? Let me just turn there. I'd give you that verse, but I'd probably mess it up, so I'd better just... Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth maybe prosper, possibly prosper. Bible's pretty clear, amen, shall prosper. Folks, this gospel gives us success for life. Success in our marriages, success in raising our children, success at our jobs, amen. Success at just life in general. It's a glorious gospel. It gives us fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit of God. This is a glorious gospel. And it's glorious because of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who secured it for us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not us. We can't secure ourselves this gospel. Amen. We cannot earn this gospel. We cannot do good enough works to earn eternal salvation. We cannot do enough good works or go to church or read our Bible or pray or get baptized or whatever we want to try and do in this life to secure this glorious gospel. It is secured by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who secured it for us. But look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 before I give you the but. Here's our glorious gospel. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us. Isn't that a great little phrase? God is for us. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what circumstances happen in our life, no matter how we fail God, and we have failed God, no matter how we fail ourselves or our families, God is for us. Amen. If you don't come away with anything else this morning, come away with that little phrase. God is for you. God is for me. God is for us because of this glorious gospel. Amen. Notice that. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. You know, I like to, when I was in church, I came across this word years ago, parsimonious, parsimonious. And I like to impress our church folks with that big word, parsimonious. Just means cheap, scarce. God is not scarce, amen. He says he freely give us some things, all things, all things. God is not parsimonious with his people. He wants to give us abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It is a glorious gospel that we have. But notice back in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, it says, our gospel be hid, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, the gospel is hid to many, 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 many people. We have a world consisting of 7.8, 7.9 billion people. Can you wrap your mind around billion? I have a hard time wrapping my mind around thousand, amen, and only because I had to put an engine in my vehicle a few years ago, and I had to cough up $9,000. But other than that, who wraps their mind around that? I mean, those numbers are so vast, so unreal. 7.9 billion people. Have you ever stopped to wonder how many of those billion people are actually saved, are actually born again, have actually received this glorious gospel? A small, minor percentage of those people. The gospel is hid to them that are lost. Notice in verse 4, it tells us a reason, or really, if you want, the root of the reason. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I want to give you a few reasons this morning why the gospel is hid. This glorious gospel, this life-changing gospel, this gospel that has done so much for us and can do so much for anyone who receives the gospel, it is hid for a number of reasons. Number one, the devil's blinded the minds of them that believe not. The devil does not want people to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to hide, obscure that gospel. He hides it through many, many different ways. Atheism, environmentalism, pantheism, different religions, narcissism. Don't we live in a narcissistic age? Everything is about me anymore. This victim mentality that we live in. Can you imagine Meghan Markle, a victim, and she portrays herself as a victim? Check the news anyway. Politics, wokeism, victim mentality, pornography, gambling, drinking, and we could go on and on and on with that list, amen? But the devil wants to distract, wants to obscure who God is and obscure the importance of tomorrow, amen? People who are dying now, they're so doped up on drugs to make them comfortable, and I understand that. I'm not taking away. But, I mean, death is no longer death, amen? It's no longer a real thing, if you will. Then there's wrong thinking about God. Wrong thinking about God. God is holding back some good thing from you. God is holding something back. He doesn't want you to have fun. Look at all of the things you can do if you weren't thinking about being a Christian. You don't want to give up the partying, the drinking, the women, the men. You don't want to give up the bar scene. You don't want to give all that fun up for God, do you? God will hold something back from you. God is unfair. God is unkind. Then we have the thought process, God is who you make him to be. AA says that. The higher power. Whoever God is in your mind, that's who God is. Well, that's a lie, amen? That's obscuring the glorious gospel. God is a figment of your imagination. God is for the weak. He's for the. He's a crutch. The devil wants people to be thinking all of these things about God to hide that glorious gospel, the life-changing gospel. So why is the gospel hid? First, because the devil blinds the mind of them that believe not. Second thought for you is the church is not doing their job. The church is not doing their job. The church has become a social club. The church cares more about the social gospel, the social ills of society. And I know there are churches, hopefully no independent Baptist churches, but starting to bring in Black Lives Matter and bringing that into the churches. And wokeism and cancel culture and all of that. Getting all wrapped up in the social ills of society. Poverty. Care more about the poverty. And these are real issues. But they're not going to be saved by the social gospel. They're going to be saved by the glorious gospel. Amen. Amen. The church has become a social club. We come to church and we sip on our coffees during church hour. Oops, did I hit that one? But it's happening more and more. I don't know what you guys think, but anyway, I'll leave that for you. You may not like me after that one. But we come and we care more about the fellowship and the food, and fellowship's important, amen? And during this pandemic, we were in Manitoba and BC, and the poor churches out there hardly ever met. They're starving for fellowship of God's people, and it's important, but if that's all we get together for, that's a problem, amen? The church has become self-focused. The church is looking for ear-tickling sermons rather than the glorious gospel. No longer do believers want to hear about sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. We want to feel good. I've heard that. I don't feel good after coming to your church. It doesn't make me feel good. We want to be changed into the image of Christ, but the problem is, the image of Christ we imagine to be changed into is a narcissistic feel-good image. It's a wrong image, amen? We love the Psalms, but we don't like the book of Proverbs or James, amen? The church is not doing the job because it cares more of the world. The programs of the church are designed to entertain rather than preach the gospel. It says in verse 5, "For we preach Christ." I'm thankful that the pulpit is in the center of the auditorium. Amen. That ought to be the focus, is the preaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we heard of a church, so-called, in Leduc. And they, what was the video they showed? Like a Superman or a Batman or something? And the pastor drew some spiritual truths from that. Where have we come to? We're not to preach Superman or Batman. We're to preach Jesus Christ and this glorious gospel. Amen? Amen. The church is not doing the job. We have seeker-sensitive services that are designed not to offend the unsaved or the believer. At the same time, the churches are lulling believers into a wishy-washy concept of God who never judges and is always a God that's lovey-dovey. The church is not doing the job, amen. The church, the believer, can I say the believer is not doing the job, and that's why the gospel is hid.
Yeah.
The believer is not doing the job. The church isn't doing the job. But the believer is not doing the job that they were called to do. We've forgotten what the Lord has done for us. Amen. We've forgotten that Jesus Christ bare our sins in His own body. We forget that Jesus Christ paid an ultimate price. You know, we focus many times on the death of Christ, you know, the beating, the whipping, and the cruelty that Jesus Christ suffered and the humiliation that he suffered. But I submit to you that the greatest cost that Christ paid was when the Father turned his back on Jesus Christ. Turned his back on his own Son. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We forget that Jesus Christ was forsaken for our sin. We forget what Christ did for us. We forget the price that he paid on Calvary. We're thankful for what he's done, you know, amen. We rejoice in what he's done. We shout glory to God for what he's done, but we really forget how wicked and vile we really are. Amen. We forget that we're sinners, that we were enemies of God, that we were ungodly, that we were on our way to Christless eternity in hell. And we forget that so easily. We get wrapped up in life. We get wrapped up in taking care of the wife and the children and going to our jobs and these things we ought to do. But we forget what Christ has done for us. We don't stop and remember his mercies which are new each and every day. We become a little self-righteous, a little self-sufficient. We become a little too comfortable in our Christianity. And we're just comfortable. 2 Corinthians 4:1, Paul reminded this church, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, as we have received mercy, we've received this ministry. We need to do the job. The church is not operating secondly in our gifting. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gifts, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When we get birthed, God gives us some natural talents. But when we get saved, we are given some spiritual gifts at that time. And the question is, do we operate in those gifts? Are we busy operating in the spiritual gifts, the talents and the abilities that God has given us, or do we just sit? Amen, preacher. Good preaching. Preach it. Preach it. Can you go and teach a Sunday school? Oh, pastor, I can't do that. I'm not gifted that way. How about teach you run a bus route? Oh, pastor, I can't do that. You know, I've got a little puny little vehicle. I can't pick up any kids. And you know, pastor, my Saturdays and my Sundays, I just don't have time. And we give excuse after excuse after excuse why we cannot operate in the gifts that he has given us to operate in. He's given us those to be involved in the ministry. We can't say, but I've not been included in them. I'm the one that he's opted out on. Can't. Even Anne with an E has a ministry. Amen. Even those that can't get out necessarily and maybe knock on a door, teach Sunday school. Maybe they're laid up, invalid. They can pray. They can pray. Amen. We all have been given a ministry. I wonder if the churches, the church, everyone operated, every believer operated in the gifts that God's given them. I wonder what would happen in Canada.
Amen.
I wonder. I must hurry. I have 5 minutes and 10 pages left. Sometimes we get weary. I won't go into that. Sometimes the believer just gets caught up in the world. Over and over and over, Paul said, put off the old man, put on the new man. And he warned us many, many times about allowing the world to creep into our lives. Because the reality is, the more that the world creeps in, the less we do for God. That's just the reality of the Christian life. And so we're warned over and over, put ye off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Over and over we're warned about allowing the world to creep into our lives. Hebrews said that, tells us that we lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. You know, there's some good things that are not sin that we need to lay aside for the glorious gospel.
Amen.
He says the weight, not those things which are sinful, things which are good and right and proper. But sometimes we got to lay those things aside for the glorious gospel.
Amen.
Golf is not bad, amen. We're going to play it in heaven. Hallelujah. But you know what? We can get so wrapped up in golf that we're not doing what we ought to be doing. You can tell I kind of like golf. The gospel is hid because the believer's not doing their job, because the church is not doing their job, because the devil wants to blind their minds. Next thought for you is, the gospel is corrupted. The scripture is full of warnings of those who would corrupt the word of God. Look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. Acts 20 and 29, Paul warns the Ephesian church. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Notice this. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Be careful who you allow in the pulpit. Be careful who you allow in the Sunday school ministry. Amen. He says, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And then in Ephesians it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Be careful of the internet.
Yeah, amen.
We had a fellow in our church that I'd preach a message and he'd go to the internet. And he'd say, no, pastor, it says this, 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 and this. Then I preach another message and he go to the internet again. That guy was so messed up. And I'm not saying don't go to the internet, but be very, 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 very careful. Amen. Because you will get every wind of doctrine on the internet.
That's right.
You will get more than you can ever imagine on the internet. And you'll come away so confused, you will never experience the glorious gospel. Next thought for you, and again I have to hurry. By the way, Calvinism is a false doctrine.
Amen.
Baptismal regeneration is a false doctrine.
Amen.
Charismatic movement, name it and claim it, is false doctrine.
Right.
I saw a book called Reinventing Jesus. Ooh. I've never read the book, and it may be okay, but just the name to me says, problem. Houston, we have a problem, amen. by bad translations. The gospel is hid because of bad translations. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God." There are so many bad translations out there. In the English language alone, over 200 English translations. They all say something different.
Yeah.
And if they're different, as someone said, they're not the same. Amen?
Right.
So, if they're different, they're not God's word.
Yeah.
They're corrupt. And, you know, there's a couple of organizations that are translating the word of God into other languages. Wycliffe is one of them. And I'm not against Wycliffe necessarily, but I'm against the critical text that they're using. They're trying to do the right thing, but the wrong way. But they're producing corrupt translations. They're hiding the glorious gospel of Christ by bad translation.
Yeah.
Next thought is the Bible is just not translated. I gave you all one of these. Actually, Brother Allen did. The gospel's hidden because of that. You go to these closed countries, that's what they have for scripture. The gospel's hidden. We'll get there in a minute. But if we don't translate the scripture, who is? Who's going to do it if we don't do it? And you know what? We're hiding the gospel. We're making that a closed book because we're not translating the scripture. Because you know, as well as I do, there are two things for the salvation of a soul. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Spirit of God can't work without the Word of God. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You need those two things. And the gospel is hid because we're not giving them one of those things. So, what can we do about not hiding the gospel? Well, repent. We as a church need to repent, realize where we are, and then redo. The churches in Revelation, 6 times the Lord tells the churches in Asia to repent. To repent. Good churches, churches of Jesus Christ, but they were told to repent. And that's what we need to do, have a change of mind towards God, towards this glorious gospel. Then we need to redo. We need to start doing what we ought to be doing. Amen. Brother Allen.
All right, thank you for the challenge. I think it's just straight down the line. I can just say amen to the whole thing. So let's just close with a word of prayer and allow God to work in our heart as we look to the break here and just dwell upon what does God want us to do at Harvest Baptist Church? What are we doing here? Who are we in Christ? And what can we do that glorifies Him and exalts Christ and shines a light? We're a city set on a hill and we're meant to shine. So let's do that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time to be challenged from thy word. Lord, let us not sit in self-righteous satisfaction because we're not a charismatic church. Because we're not Calvinist. Because we do have a King James Bible. But Lord, that you could just really search our hearts, that we would just acknowledge, Lord, where we have grown cold to thee. That Lord, each of us individually would just be real with thee. about where we're at, and that we would have a desire to draw near to you, that we would submit ourselves to thy working, and Lord, you would do wonderful things in us and through us, that our church could be a place that is known as a place that is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that this is a work that's done in our hearts and then shows itself in our lives, so we pray that you just work in our hearts this morning. Lord, we just love you and thank you for the liberty you've given us to serve you and to do right. Lord, that we might use that liberty to that end and glorify thee. Lord, just dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.